1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning that we have. I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand your word today. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Every believer is provided with their own spiritual gifts to be able to be used for God's glory in the ministry of their local church. And I'll recap just a couple things that I mentioned last week. Many of these spiritual gifts we also use outside of the church, but they are given to us for the express purpose of helping to accomplish the work of God within our local church. Now again, our spiritual gifts are blessings that God is giving to us that we did not ask for. And when we use our spiritual gifts, God blesses us for our faithfulness. And as we develop our spiritual gifts, so God uses them in service to Him to both develop our lives for His glory, as well as others inside of our church ministry. Now, there are two questions that we should continue to ask ourselves as we think about our spiritual gifts. Number one, how can I be served and challenged by other members of the church body? And number two, who in the church and outside of it can benefit from my abilities and resources? Now, these are important questions because these questions, when we ask ourselves these questions, what happens is each one of us are asking these questions. How can I benefit? So Ian would be saying, how can I benefit others? So Ian would say, how can I benefit Sue? And Marianne would say, how can I benefit Nicole? And Jerry would say, how can I benefit Teresa? And Kira would say, how can I benefit Michael? And so it goes back and forth. So as the body grows and they look at how we can benefit each other, so we grow through God's spiritual gifts that He gives us. Now we're going to take a few minutes and talk about what these spiritual gifts look like. Last week we had an introduction, essentially what spiritual gifts are all about and how we should use them in the ministry. Each gift has a singular heading that you'll see up here on the board. And inside of that heading, there are numerous opportunities underneath of it for things that I can't even list. There's so many things that are connected to it. So don't think that this one item is only one singular item. There are so many things that are listed underneath it. It's just not practical to list. Now, some of these spiritual gifts were in use during the times of the early New Testament church, but some of them aren't used anymore. Some of them are slightly, well, we'll say partially inactive. Some of them are active. Some of them are inactive. And I'll talk to you about what those are as we're going through them. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, we see many gifts listed. And let's start in verse 4 for context. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Now, look at me with me at verse 6. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. I'm going to stop here for just a second and look at verse 8. Verse 8 gives us a couple of spiritual gifts here. We see two. The first is wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to speak with divine insight, regardless of what you're speaking about. Whether it's problem solving or giving advice, whether it's resolving conflicts, even defending your faith. This gift is often referred to as the spiritual gift of discernment. Now, those that have a developed gift of discernment can generally read their Bible and know exactly what God is saying in the text. Not just what he's saying in the text, but what it's all connecting to. And it's a lot easier for those that have a fully developed spiritual gift of discernment to be able to read through the text and fully understand it than it is for many others of us who have to go back and study and figure out exactly what God's trying to say. Now, those with the gift of wisdom would be fantastic elders in your ministry, in the church ministry. All right, so the second one we see here is knowledge. And this is the knowledge of Scripture. This is remembering it and using it to be a blessing to others. Now, we all have the ability to memorize and understand and be able to hold on to some kind of knowledge, but this is kind of a next level retainment. Someone who's able to retain large portions of Scripture and who's able to retain and recall and remember all these different aspects, not just sections. I know of people who can just memorize through entire books and be able to recall back a middle verse. It's one thing to memorize, say, all of Ephesians. I was reading a book the other day that was telling me how to memorize through an entire book, and it gave the book of Ephesians. It's one thing to memorize through an entire book and to be able to recite it from point A to point B. It's another thing to say chapter 2, verse 3, and be able to give you something right in the middle there. And those with the spiritual gift of knowledge can be able to recall and retain a lot of this information. And they're really there to be a blessing to others, to be able to help and encourage the church body. Well, look with me at verse 9. We see here, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. So we see faith, the spiritual gift of faith, is when you trust in God and allow Him to care for you without anyone ever knowing, without you telling anyone about what your problem is. It's the faith that can move mountains. Now, we all have some faith. We are called to have faith in Christ in order to accept Him as our Lord and personal Savior. But this gift of faith is a next level provision from God to help help our faith be carried onward at a much greater height. Now, the spiritual gift of faith is tremendous for anyone in their ministry, because what this helps you to do, it not only helps you to have faith in whatever God is doing in your life right now, but it gives you faith in what God is doing in the church. It gives you faith in what God is doing in the world. And what you do is, when you come into the church body as an encourager to others, they might be really, their faith might be low. They're looking at the news and saying, oh my goodness, look at everything that's happening right now. We're all going to die. And someone with a spiritual gift of faith can be like, listen, I can trust in God in everything, and so can you. And they can be an encourager to help others see, look, we can have faith in God. Look how much strength we can have from the Lord Jesus if we just put our faith and trust in Him. Someone with a gift of faith will have tremendous opportunity to be an encourager in their ministry. Now, we also see here the spiritual gift of healings. The spiritual gift of healings is actually partially inactive to what it was in the New Testament. The spiritual gift of healing is miraculous healing, which was seen more in the New Testament before we had all the tools, all the hospital technology that we have today, that we've advanced to. There are elements of this today, I believe, from those who God allows to bring healing to others, but it's a rare gift. Just as a side note, faith healers on TV that say, hey, send me $20 and I'll heal you, or I'll give you the gift of salvation kind of thing, those are not faith healers. Every time we look in the New Testament, when we see the apostles that go out and they're healing people, you always see they're healing for the purpose of helping people draw them to the Lord. And there's no reciprocation of finances in any of those times, any of those opportunities. So you see someone that says, hey, God's given me the power to heal you. I'll heal you for $29.95, or you can get two healings for the price of one. That's not real spiritual healing. So just FYI. But the point was always to heal in order for others to see Christ. And I do believe that there are those that maybe have and the extra gifts, perhaps a doctor or nurse to be able to help and encourage others, even to be able to see the healing of others. And sometimes the healing is not just a physical, it can be a mental, other spiritual issues and such like that. But for the most part, we rely on our technology today to be able to heal us and go a lot further. Look at me at verse 10. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10 says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All right, verse 10 provides us with five different gifts. So first we see miracles. So the gift of miracles is no longer active in the context that it was in the New Testament. So God, we had Jesus Christ who would walk around and perform miracles. We saw many miracles performed by Jesus during the time on the earth, but he also gave that gift to the apostles who went out specifically to do whether they be miraculous healings or just miracle things. And we think of Jesus turning water into wine, that was a total miracle. It couldn't have happened. The apostles were given the same opportunity to go out and perform miracles for the point of pointing people to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying miracles don't happen today. God allows different miracles to happen, and sometimes he uses people to do that. But you don't see singular people out there today walking around performing miracles. If they did, they would probably have their own website. They'd be very popular. Everybody would know about that person. Now, typically when the miracles happened in the New Testament, it wasn't always for a giant group of people. It would have been a quiet in a lot of those cases where those miracles happened, just simply so that people could be pointed back to Christ. And, you know, we just don't see it in singular people anymore. We do see God providing miracles, but not through one person. But we also see the gift of prophecy. Gift of prophecy. Now, the gift of prophecy is partially inactive. When God wanted a message told to the people that was from him, he sent a man to go out to a certain people group and do that. So what I believe today for the spiritual gift of prophecy, why it's no longer or partially inactive, is I believe that the gift of prophecy is worked through people where they'll go out and still spread the gospel of Christ, but they're no longer receiving new revelation. Because what we know from the end of the book of Revelation is that God said, hey, my word is complete. So before, in the Old Testament especially, when they didn't have all of the written work of the Lord, they would go out and get these new messages that God told them specifically to go tell this other people. And we have still some here in the New Testament. But once the Bible was finished in Revelation, at the last, I believe in the last chapter of Revelation, it says God's word is complete. There will be no new revelation. Therefore, there can't be a prophet going around giving new revelation. I'm telling that very specifically too, because there are plenty of people that I hear almost weekly that are saying, I have new revelation from the Lord. But that's not possible because God said at the end of Revelation, no one's going to have new revelation. My word is complete. Now, I believe that the gift of prophecy today is the spiritual gift of boldly and fearlessly proclaiming the truth of God's word through God's strength. We all have been given a message from God's word to tell the world. Those with a gift will heartily go out and be impassioned about telling the world. In fact, you will see them telling and helping and teaching people on a day-to-day basis. The next one, discerning of spirits that we see here in verse 10. So this gift allows you to be able to identify if someone is speaking from God or if they were a false teacher. We've talked about so many times false teachers today. Pretty much those who is a discerner of spirits, as someone was speaking, they could be able to identify, wait a minute, this guy is not from God, or this guy is from God. We should listen to this guy. And it wasn't always by what they said, because a lot of times when people are speaking of, say, they're speaking of the Bible and they're saying this is truth, but it's a complete opposite of what the Bible is teaching. I mean, that's a red flag right away. And we can all say, well, he's obviously not of God. He is a false teacher. But in this case, for discerning of spirits is anyone who is speaking, even if they're speaking in love, even if they're speaking through scripture, you can tell whether or not they are of God or not. And just to clarify, this is not one of those sixth sense, okay? It's not the mother or fatherly instinct that you get over time. They're like, hey, that guy's a bad guy. We should stay away from that. It is a supernatural understanding that this person is a false teacher, or this person is of God. All right, the next one that we see here from verse 10 is different kinds of tongues. Different kinds of tongues. Now, this is partially inactive. I'm not sure where the idea of tongues got so far off base. I was talking to a man one day about speaking in tongues, and he says that he stands in the middle of his church and he just talks gibberish unto God, and that's what speaking in tongues is, and it's so holy, which seems totally against what God's word says, since he says everything that he does is perfect. Gibberish, I don't think, is perfect. But this is not in all context to this gift. And the apostles went out to foreign territories, if you think about it. If you go back to the Old Testament, there was an event that happened on this tall tower. If anybody can name me the tower. Tower of Babel. All right, good. Sorry, don't raise your hand anymore. Just call it out. But Tower of Babel, and at the Tower of Babel, when they were trying to all become as God and climbing up and building this thing, God did something to them that got them all mixed up. What was it? He gave them different languages. So then after they come back down, they realize they can't even talk to their friends anymore. Do they all stay together, or what do? They scatter. They scatter everywhere. They scatter across the entire earth. So people today who are paleontologists and stuff, they go back and they say, we don't know how many millions of years ago that people were scattering these different parts of the earth. We don't know when the Indians or Native Americans first came to America. You know, when did that begin? I believe it all started here at the Tower of Babel. When our languages were mixed and everyone was sent out, they were all sent globally across the world. So now, during the time of the apostles are going out and telling people, contrary to what you might think, because in all the movies in Rome, they're speaking English. None of them knew English at that time. They spake Aramaic, they spake Greek, and they spake Hebrew, and there were some other languages and dialects during that time. So maybe, let's say, 5 or 6 different languages. Well, in the Jewish area, they would only know certain languages. So they wouldn't know a lot of the Gentile languages, because God never wanted them mixing with the Gentiles. So up to this point in time, they just don't know what a lot of the common languages of things around that time. So God gave them the ability to go out. And if we look back at the Greek context of when it says tongues, it talks about language. There's nothing, and there's no idea here about talking to the Holy Spirit. The whole idea about tongues is that when I'm presenting, let's say that we had some Spanish speakers in here this morning that only spoke Spanish, and God worked through me the original New Testament interpretation of tongues as I'm preaching, just this everything in clarity as it is here today, they would be able to fully understand me just as clear as I am. Whereas in today, in a lot of churches, they speak and maybe they might have some different words that have some type of understanding, but it's not clear, it's not understandable. And here in the text, different kinds of tongues, it was fully understood what it was I was saying. Now, I don't believe that this same spiritual gift is available today, mostly because of our technology. If you don't know what someone's saying, you can pick up your phone and type it in, or just have them speak into it, and you can get the audible understanding of exactly what language they're speaking. Or if you need an interpreter, you can call the 1-800 number for the interpreter and speak into the phones and get the understanding for it. There's so many, all the languages have their own interpretation now, and so many people know what it is. It's easy to have things interpreted. But I do believe that God still gives the opportunity for missionaries and global workers to understand quicker and easier and more understandable different languages in order for them to better understand and be able to help through ministry. Now, connected to the different kinds of tongues is the interpretation of tongues. Now, at the same time, when the apostles would speak out in this foreign language, clearly and understandable as they're giving the gospel to others, there would be someone else there with the interpretation of tongues. The interpretation of tongues would interpret it back to everyone else in their native language, because, say today again, if we had Spanish people here and I was speaking out loud and none of you understood Spanish, none of you would know what I'm talking about. So there'd be someone else here that would interpret everything back to you for what that meant. And that was the interpretation of tongues. Now, I say this is partially inactive again because I believe that God gives, again, missionaries and those who are doing a lot of Bible translations the understanding of being able to interpret things a lot easier. And I believe it's just in a different design style. I think of Jim Elliot, the missionary that died years ago while he was on the field. His wife, Elizabeth Elliot, stayed and continued to minister to the people. And she had to learn their language and their dialect. And if you go back and read some of the books that she's written, and you read to understand how she did these things, I'm like, how in the world did she learn this language? I mean, it was well before any of the technology that we have to be able to interpret this stuff. And just it's amazing that God allowed her understanding. And I believe that is through the spiritual gift of the interpretation of tongues. All right, so we're not quite done. Let's jump ahead in Corinthians to verse 28. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. It says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. All right, so first we have apostles. Now, this is the spiritual gift of apostleship, not the spiritual gift of apostles. Apostles is not a spiritual gift. Being an apostle was an appointment given to those who were alive. One of the requirements was for an apostle that you had to be alive during the time of Jesus Christ and see his ministry. Therefore, none of us could be an apostle today, no matter what, because none of us were alive during that time. Now, the spiritual gift of apostleship is someone who has a desire and works to see Jesus's ministry grow through planting churches, or going to areas to preach the gospel where it's never gone before, like missionaries, and help to develop and broaden the leaders of the church. They're kind of diehards that want the church to grow and continue growing and will not give up on the church. Another one that we see here is teachers. Teachers. So the spiritual gift of teaching helps one with giving God's word clearly, simply, and accurately. Now, this gift, once developed, helps the average person to articulate the Bible in a manner that everyone is able to easily understand and be able to take scripture and connect it to life principles, making it much easier for the listener to understand. All right, let's look at helps and serving. Now, spiritual gift of serving is the biggest gift. It's honestly the one thing that, you know, last week we talked about how do you get start building and developing these spiritual gifts. You start by serving. So everyone who is a servant begins developing their spiritual gift. And the spiritual gift of serving is providing help both physically and spiritually to the local church ministry. Those who have the spiritual gift will work on being flexible and open to serving in whatever capacity is needed. And when Tracy and I were doing travel nursing, you know, she would go and work in these hospitals, and I would walk into the pastor's office and say, hey, I'm available for the next umpteen amount of time. You know, what can I do for you? And they would all have something different. You know, in some churches, they would say, hey, I need you to teach adult Sunday school. Or in some churches, it was, hey, I need you to take care of the kids program or something like that. But some of those things, places that we went to, there was no leadership roles or anything to do. What they needed me to do was they needed me to scrub toilets. In some places, they needed me to do really, really dirty, grimy things. And I found that if I said no, then I was prevented from being a blessing to them. I also found that when I said yes and was able to do whatever capacity that I was needed in, it allowed me to be blessed on a different level. It helped me to get to know a lot more, learn a lot new things, helped me to connect with different people too. And many churches that I've been to in the past, especially churches of like 100 or 200 people, you have side A and you have side B, and it's cut down based on the rows. Side A doesn't know anybody on side B, and side B doesn't know anybody on side A. Well, when you get involved in different points in ministry, what that allows you to do is it helps you to get to know kind of everybody in the church, and you get to know them a lot deeper and how God is working in their lives. And it's just a really great time to be able to approach ministry in different ways as other people look at ministry in different ways. So the one with the spiritual gift of serving, when developed, will be able to serve anywhere, anytime a need is presented. Now, the spiritual gift of serving, again, is probably the biggest gift. Most people have the spiritual gift of serving as a starting point in their life. And we also see here the spiritual gift of administration. The spiritual gift of administration is one that helps the user to organize, direct, promote, lead, and even implement plans to help others throughout the ministry. There will always be a need for this spiritual gift in the church ministry. Now, one would think that the pastor has a spiritual gift of administration, but that's not always the case. I've been in several churches where the spiritual gift where the pastor had no spiritual gift of administration whatsoever. And many times he'd fall back on his wife, and his wife would be looking for someone else to fall back on because nobody had the spiritual gift of administration. But what was cool in those points is that I would often see either a deacon or sometimes not even someone in the leadership team would come in and say, I have the spiritual gift, or they wouldn't declare I have the spiritual gift of administration, but you could see it through them. They would say, okay, well, what needs to get done? How can we work on these things throughout? And they would just use their gift in it. And it was just really neat. But the spiritual gift of administration is something that will always be needed in a church ministry. All right, so the last few spiritual gifts we see are in Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, just verses 6 through 8, which says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The first one, spiritual gift that we see here, number one, that in verse 6, we see that we receive different gifts according to the grace that is given to us, that God graciously provides all of us something. And as Paul says, don't waste it. God gives to those what they need. Don't take your gift for granted. So the first one we see here is the spiritual gift of ministry, and I didn't list it here, because a spiritual gift of ministry really is a subcategory that sits underneath serving. And it's essentially someone with a servant's heart willing to serve in all contexts of the ministry. It's not the gift of ministry is not minister, but we are actually all called to be ministers in God's kingdom. Now, this next one that we see is exhortation. Now, as Christians, we're called to exhort and encourage one another, stay away from sin, and instead stay on that straight and narrow for Christ. The one with the spiritual gift and exhortation will be one that will motivate others to action and to a purpose. Now, this will be helpers to encourage and motivate the body of Christ to press on and not give up. Really, we always need someone. We are called to exhort each other anyways, but having the spiritual gift of exhorting is something great that is always used in the church, because other people will be exhorting other people on a much greater level, as we are called to encourage each other, to help each other, to forgive each other, all through the context of the family unit that God has us in here as the church. Now, let's look at the next one, giving. The spiritual gift of giving empowers you to be aware of the needs of others so that you can help them. Now, this gift is not typically endowed to rich people. If you're thinking that's a giving is coming from the rich people because they have all the money, I've seen the spiritual gift of giving used in so many contexts where it was people who were not making very much at all, or just having maybe a mid-range amount of money that's coming in their life. But typically those with this developed gift will not only see the needs of others, but they will even change their own lifestyle to make sure that their sacrifices to be made that others are able to have what they need. And I think back on the New Testament church as we were studying how they would go out when the first few thousand of them were saved, they were going out as a New Testament church and they were selling the things that they had so they could sacrifice for each other in order to provide for each other. Now, we also see here the spiritual gift of leading in the text here of Romans 12, 6 through 8. But leading is connected to shepherding and administration, even wisdom. I would use it as a characteristic within these headings. Essentially, it would be someone who is leading people to commit to the Lord and to make changes in their life, I would even connect it to exhortation in some ways. And then we see the spiritual gift of mercy. And those with the spiritual gift of mercy will be able to identify with those in need and be able to comfort them with a full and joyful heart. And the more that this gift is developed, the more that you will be concerned for those suffering both physically and spiritual needs and do what you can to help them. And God showed us great mercy when he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We are all instructed to be merciful. And this gift will help us to think more in that manner and help on a deeper level. When I think of the spiritual gift of mercy, I also think of the spiritual gift of exhortation, how together we as a family unit and how we're supposed to grow as a family unit. I think of how many times Jesus talked about the church as a family and how many times the apostles throughout their writings in the New Testament, I mean, Paul talked to this a lot. I see the apostle John talking about this, but as a family, we're going to have family. As a family, we need to encourage each other. We need to strengthen each other. We need to build each other up just as a family in life would do that. You know, family in the church needs to do it even more so. We need to forgive each other as God has forgiven us. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." God calls us as a family to exhort each other, to forgive each other, to encourage each other. The spiritual gifts are not necessarily given to the person that is good at them. And I want to make sure I clarify that. Just because you're a good teacher in life doesn't mean that God has called you to be a teacher for his service. You may be good at something in life that he wants you to try to get out of your comfort zone to do something completely different from him. And I'll give you this example. Down south in the Bible Belt, there are many churches filled with retired pastors and missionaries and evangelists. Okay, so let's say you have one church with five of them in it. They're not all going to be using the same spiritual gift of teaching or leading or shepherding, because you're going to have a shepherd already in that church. They're going to need to use their other spiritual gifts in order to help and encourage that church. So we are given all spiritual gifts, but we are to use whatever gift that God wants us to use in the context of our ministry to be able to help them. And those who make the effort in developing their spiritual gifts will find that God rewards tremendously for the work that we do for him. Now, there is not one singular gift that is more important than any other. All of them have importance because all of them are being used together to help each other. It's important in the context of our local ministry to be able to use our spiritual gift. Now, a spiritual gift is not something that everyone in the world gets. Only those who are faithful to Christ, who are followers of him, will receive a spiritual gift. It's a tremendous blessing to get it, and God will always reward us as we are developing it. As Peter and Paul goes back and tells us, don't waste your gift. Use it, but use it for God's glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity for us again today to gather around your word, Lord. We thank you for spiritual gifts. We thank you, Lord, for the tremendous help that you continue to give to us, Lord. You continue to encourage us. Lord, we thank you that you give us these blessings. And then on top of these blessings, you bless us more. And we thank you for that as we develop these spiritual gifts and as we are just starting to learn what they are and such, that you continue to bless us within that, Lord. And that just shows how wonderful you are, how much you love us, how much you care for us, and how much you want to see your work expanded through the world. Lord God, I pray for us today as we continue to move forward. I pray that you would plant a seed in our lives, the desire to develop our spiritual gifts. I pray, Lord, that we would want to know what they are, that we'd want to develop them. And I pray, Lord, that we would use them for your glory. And we just thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give to us. I pray that as you, when you dismiss us, Lord, we go out, that we would this week put to you serving. I pray that we would serve others for your glory. I pray that we would serve others in our body of Christ. I pray that we would exhort and admonish each other, encourage each other, that we would forgive each other as you have called us to do. Lord, we thank you that you have forgiven us for our sins. We thank you, Lord, that you show us by example that we can forgive each other. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus, so much for all the things that you do for us. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.